Sa Vidrasat Sa Hi Kingpritu Abhishekta Man in throne Pritu Kingpritu Vitrai by the great sages and the prophets.
Because Prithu Maharaj was an empowered incarnation of Lord Vishnu and was naturally a great Vaishnava devotee of the Lord, all the demigods were pleased with him and presented different gifts to help him in exercising his royal power. And the great sages and saintly persons also joined in his coronation. Thus blessed by them, he ruled over the earth and exploited its resources for the greatest satisfaction of the people in general. This has already been explained in previous chapters regarding the activities of King Prithu. As will be apparent from the next verse, every executive head of state should follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Prithu in ruling over this. Regardless of whether the chief executive is a king or a president, or whether the government is monarchical or democratic, this process is so perfect that if it is followed, everyone will become happy. And thus it will be possible. It will be very easy for all to execute devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Satsang with Mooji.
Means ultimately life is meant for spiritual realization. and the civilization of spiritual culture that leads one back home, back to Godhead. So there are material necessities and spiritual necessities. The material necessities are also acknowledged. And the duty of the king is to see that those necessities also are amply available. Amply available. That's his duty. Water is another great necessity. The next wars will be fought over water. Gradually becoming a treasured and rare commodity. And so corporations are built busy buying off water rights. Whatever water there is will be owned by this or that corporation. And we see already the countries fight over water. In India, the states fight over water. And of course, there is that fighting and that artificial dams and this and that for exploiting the resources. But actually, it's cheating. It's all cheating. It's all cheating. One Indian writer has written an essay called Power Politics. The essay concerns the politics of power, that is to say, electrical power and other forms of power. And her research demonstrates that even when a state has ample supply of electrical power, it can generate all the power it needs, still it undertakes a big power construction project, leasing out the rights to the project to some big multinational corporation, and guaranteeing the success of the project by guaranteeing that the state will buy X amount of electricity at whatever the price. And it's cheating because there's already a sufficient supply, no need of this new power plant. And the price agreed upon is more than the state would have to pay by generating the power itself. So the whole thing is just an arrangement for exploitation, huge bribes are naturally an important part of the process. So these things are going on as exploitation, but the basic way of life is to live simply, not creating artificial necessities, and to accept what's provided by Krishna through the earth and use it nicely in devotional service to Krishna, by Krishna's arrangement. Therefore, real productivity comes from the land, not from silicon chips and heavy machinery. It comes from the land. The land produces food grains and vegetables, and the cows will provide milk. And the productive class of men are the vaishyas, whose duty it is to use these natural resources of the earth for general welfare of the people, to provide food and all necessities. So, and the duty of the king is to see that everyone's doing what they should be doing. The vaishyas should be protecting the cows. They should be properly using the land. The brahmin should be engaged in giving instruction and direction, spiritual direction. And the shudras should be engaged in assisting. And everyone should be employed. So the king has the duty to see that all this king or the executive head of state, whether it's the king or the prime minister or the president, this is their duty. So Prithubhai performed this duty with power received from Lord Vishnu. The arms were with which he milked the earth were arms that had received power, danger, from Lord Vishnu. Everyone has power only if given by Lord Vishnu. But the demons misused that power. And the devotees used the power properly. In the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it's said that in the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth generations of creatures. Anena prasadishya vamesha bodhisvishpatamadhu, along with the necessities for sacrifice, and said, perform these sacrifices and you'll have everything that you need. By acting for the sake of Vishnu, by acting in service to Vishnu, one becomes free from all entanglement. But by acting otherwise, one becomes entangled. So the Prithu Maharaj acted in Krishna consciousness, seeing that everything was done properly. It was all approved by the great Brahmins who installed him on the throne. He wasn't installed. Now the heads of state are installed by the merchants. They're installed by the merchants. That is to say, by, again, corporate interests and those, the super rich. They're the ones who buy the politicians. Every politician who reaches the level of head of state has been bought and sold a thousand times. He's beholden to so many vested interests. So the state is run as a business. We look at gross national product, we look at balance of payments, we look at all of this. The whole thing is like a great balance sheet. It's also a mismanaged business because practically every state is in debt. All the African states are in debt to America and Europe and other, maybe China sometimes. And America itself is in debt, the biggest number one country power, the number one power is itself in debt. All these countries are in debt. We might ask, to whom are they in debt? To whom are they in debt? Somebody is making money. So if you trace the debt chain far back enough, which generally we don't do, you'll find out who holds the debt. And then you may know something about world politics and so on. But world politics is not our business. But But we can observe that the state is mismanaged. This adds to any business. If you're spending more than you have, you're mismanaging your business. That's ABC. Don't spend beyond your income. But the states are so mismanaged that they spend like anything beyond their income. And then borrowing at interest, of course. So much of the taxpayers' money is spent not on roads, not on environmental protection, not on law enforcement, not on health care, but on paying interest. Paying interest to those who hold the debt of the mismanaged country. So the heads of state mismanage the state. That, of course, is apart from their own, what's the word, profiteering. They put their hands deep into the treasury, or else they keep their hands out of the treasury, but everyone else is giving them remuneration in exchange for contracts and favors. It's also state money, but it's going here and there and everywhere. So the heads of state are like businessmen. They're in office to make a profit. And they're in office to serve the interests of those who've elected them, or those who arranged for them to be elected. And those interests are financial interests, of course. So the head of state is seen to the benefit of various financial interests. And therefore, those financial interests control who becomes king, who becomes president. And therefore, it's the vices who are running the country. It's their business, which they run through their proxies in the form of various politicians. And the state is considered successful when businesses are making money. But Maharaj Prithu was installed by the Brahmins, but by the people who had spiritual intelligence and spiritual vision. And he was installed not for the aggrandizement of a particular sector, but for the spiritual welfare of everyone. Prithu Maharaj himself had no interest in gratifying the senses of the expense of the citizens, nor was he serving any other selfish interest. Rather, he was a true benefactor of the citizens, because under the dominical direction, he was engaging everything and everyone in Krishna's service. So Bhishikta Pratur Vipra, he was installed by the qualified Brahmins, not by the selfish and vicious profiteers. Lakta Shesha Sudara. And he was such a good king that even the demigods were pleased with him, and they offered him so many gifts. Parasparam Pavan Sashrayo. When the state is well managed, king. Yes, prasparam padman tashreya paramaham. When there is, the state is properly managed in Krishna consciousness, even the demigods become pleased, and they cooperate in the prosperity of the state. There'll be regular rain, there'll be regular sunshine, there'll be everything suitable for genuine prosperity, genuine happy life. The demigods, world is not controlled by us. Above us are more powerful beings, the demigods. They're the ones who control the rain, the sun, and the other forces of nature. They're the ones who can wipe out everything. Or they're the ones who can make everything prosperous. So when human society is engaged in yajna, in sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, then the demigods also become pleased, and they help to see that everyone is well provided, everyone is happy, and everyone can make progress toward the spiritual goal of life. Otherwise, when we try to enjoy without sacrifice, we become entangled in reactions of our material activities, and the result is that no one is, and that's the present state of affairs. So the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to see that the Sankirtan yajna is spread far and wide so that people can become God conscious, Krishna conscious, and have a happy life in this life, and at the end go back home. The heads of state should also therefore be Krishna conscious persons, so that the whole world will get the best benefit. Okay, we'll stop here and see.